This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In life, moments occur that are incomprehensible. There are mountaintop and valley moments throughout all our lives. And it seems we are never quite ready for them. They arrive unannounced, changing us in irreversible ways. But there is one thing they have in common. They demand for us to be silent and listen. These moments have something to say to us, to teach us. That's what today's gospel, the Transfiguration, is all about. It's a story that comes as a surprise right before Ash Wednesday. It is as we were at the movies. We find our seats, the lights dim, and an image appears on the screen. But this is not the film we came to see. It is a preview of the coming attraction, a brief glimpse of the highlights of a film opening soon. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were given a preview of the coming main attraction. And today, on the Festival of the Transfiguration, so too, we are given a preview. A splendid preview of Jesus radiant in divine glory, his mortal nature brilliantly, though only momentarily, transfigured. A dazzling preview of his divinity, shining in glory like the very sun. A sneak preview, in other words, of Easter, the triumphant epic love story between God and humankind. Now in our story today, Peter is really confused. He thinks he's ready for the big picture, but now he's not sure. Peter wants to freeze the action on the mountain with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in celestial conversation and build three dwellings. Peter thinks, let's forget about the main feature that Jesus has been talking to us about. This is action enough. Our instincts, like those of Peter, make us go for the glory and revel in it and hope it will go on forever. We wish to remain on top of that mountain and enjoy the intimacy of the union with God. St. Ignatius had an understanding how some of us may find union with God. Yes, he would say, climb that mountain. But you may perhaps instead be told to go back down the mountain into this material, messy, sometimes violent world and find union with God through union of your will with God's will. St. Ignatius tells us that God can be found in the world as fully to a land shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. For Peter, James, and John, God's voice from the cloud confirms the glory. For when that voice declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him," Jesus' disciples knew they needed to obey. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Let's understand that statement. "This is my Son." Earlier, Jesus had been with his disciples discussing his identity. And he asked, "Who do people say I am?" Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist came in replies. "But who do you say I am?" Remember Peter's answer? "I know who you are, Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Also, around this time, Herod had learned about Jesus and was told that John the Baptist could be Jesus. Herod had John beheaded and now has an intent on killing the real Jesus. So all of these questions are surfacing about the identity of Jesus throughout the community. And even Jesus' disciples are starting to have their doubts. And so Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain for a private encounter. It is there that they learn in a definitive way who Jesus truly is. Jesus is none other than the Son of God. No other source would have been as convincing. They hear it from heaven. That would certainly convince me, as I'm sure it would you. This was not another act of God in the life of Israel. This was a fulfillment of past events. This was the culmination of the ages. This was the hopes and fears of all the years, for this is God's Son. "This is my Son, the Beloved." The Beloved, or my Beloved. The disciples were hearing from heaven that God loved his Son. You can travel the pages of biblical history and find many whom God loved. But there's no finality in any of these. In Christ, God's love is complete. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." At Jesus' baptism, we hear the first two statements. And now there's a third statement, and it's more of a command. Listen. truly is the Son, the Beloved, the one that God loves. Of course, all of us want mountaintop experiences. It would have been wonderful to be with Peter, James, and John. These are three very practical men who stood on top of a mountain, a very real mountain, made of earth and rock. They found that life on that mountain could be bathed in the glory of heaven. The light on that day was shining from a very real flesh and blood person, Jesus Christ. And that same glory of God can shine on each of us. It can shine on every human face if only we will let it. In the world, do we capture that divine glory? In our everyday lives, we can try to be Christ-like and act that way every time we deal with others. And that's everybody. The homeless, the sick, the ones we pass by. We can look to see what is vital and important in our lives, and then respond to that. Brothers and sisters, our prayer is for us to listen as Christ heard from his Father. You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased. And perhaps we will hear that too. And then our faces will shine.